again, it's time to leave the no-win zone.
Because it creates a, you know, so that you're fighting on your own terms. Like, if you were going to compete with Tiger Woods in anything, you don't want to compete with them, like, playing golf or banging waitresses in the Midwest.
Welcome to the Serious Try Hard podcast, given to us by the only guy trying to make us better, Sean Patchett.
Well, let's just be honest. If you can't win within the first three turns, what the hell are you doing?
The only guy trying to get us from try hard to try harder.
I just like to slap it down on the table, look into my friend's eyes, and be like, get ready. This is going to sting a bit.
And here is your host, still dripping from his swim in the knowledge pool, Sean Patchett.
Okay, now it's time for the psychic battle. Listen now as one of our guests engages in verbal karate with our master Sean, and let's see what happens.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Serious Try Hard podcast. Today with me, I have a guest. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Jonathan, Norbert88 on Twitter and every Magic Forum online.
And aside from Magic Forums, where might they know you from?
Just the internet, mostly Salvation Forums, Twitter, Facebook, any Magic area, Erie, Penn State, main campus.
All right. And on the scale of, like, seriously kind of dumb dirtily to try hard, where are you on that scale for Commander right now?
Probably on the low end. I mean, it varies from deck to deck. I mean, I have some decks that are totally theme-based and really aren't strong at all, and other ones that are... My first couple I made were all good stuff, so those would be closer to the top, but still not, like, crazy combo, tier one, and so on.
Okay. Well... Today what we're going to be talking about is one of the bastard childs of EDH, and that's what a lot of people are now considering to be the worst color in EDH, which surprises me when I hear it. So we'll talk about that a little first. But people have been saying more and more that white is now the worst color, that I guess red has grown in the last few sets and white has become worse, which I think is a huge crock of shit, personally. But... Well, what's your opinion on that?
I don't think white's that bad. I mean, it doesn't get a lot of new things all the time. It doesn't get very many tutors or card draw or anything, but it gets new variations on Wrath effects and all these new angels and avatar-type things for each cycle that add new areas for white to go into.
I mean, yeah, I think one of the biggest things is the Wrath effects. Red doesn't have those. Really no other color has them as well. I guess black is the next best for it, but when it comes to taking out, you know, hordes of creatures or creatures with hexproof, until the new spotlight comes out, you're going to need these wraths to do it. So, I don't know. I'm not sure where people are coming at with this. The other thing is white has way better tutors than red. You can tutor up all the equipment that you want. You can tutor up enchantments and auras, you know, just a lot of stuff like that. So it just confused me, but I had been hearing quite a bit of it recently, especially, and don't understand it. I guess people never see enchantments, so they figure that red is great for some reason. But I don't know. Where I am, I actually see people playing all card types, and red doesn't interact with all card types. So there you go. But today we're going to talk about one of the things that is the biggest complaint about white, and that's that people think that white can't draw cards. You know, they kind of have that set into their mind where they think white and they think no card advantage, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I think any deck, any color can have, you know, card draw and card advantage. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Specifically to white, we're going to try to stay away from the all colorless things. So we'll stay away from, like, the Mind's Eye and Kozilek, Butcher of Truth, the Well of Law, and the Diviner's Wand, which anybody can play. All the colors have easy ways to find. And so we'll stay away from those just easy colorless mana sinks that you can use to make up for it. I'm not saying you shouldn't play them, but it's really not worth discussing. We're talking about things that are unique to white, if possible, here. And so I know I don't actually play a mono-white deck. The closest I get is my, you know, white and X spells. I have a Boros deck. I have a Orisa Redeemed, kind of Celestia deck. And I have a Ghost Council deck. And in some cases, I will depend on the other colors for card advantage. But in any case, you do have a mono-white deck. What is your mono-white deck?
Mono-white is Krovax, Ascendant Hero. Second deck I ever made. I started out with Grixis Control, and then so I didn't have any white cards in that deck, so then I made a mono-white to use all of them. And the first few decks I made were based off my original Type 4 stack, so it was a lot of big splashy effects like Stormherd, the White Myogen, a bunch of Wrath effects, and some Angels. And I've kept it together since then, adding on to improve the power of the deck. Overall, it's a control deck. Probably 10, 15 Wrath effects, maybe 20 or so win conditions between various Angels, Angel of Serenity, Pristine Angel, Baneslayer Angel, a couple token effects to go with Krovax, Decree of Justice, Defeat the Angel, Sacred Mesa, some Anthem effects, I mean, Gauntlet of Power, Cage Sun, Strata Scythe to pump a creature for all your planes. It really just tries to play the long game with Recursion, with Emyria, the Sky Ruin, Rhea Dawnbringer, as well as some life gain effects with the White Beacon, Ancestral Tribute, and a few other ones.
Okay. Well, I mean, that does sound like a white deck. I'm not sure if that's really a style I generally go with when I think of white, but as long as it's working, that's the important thing. So I guess we'll get into the how to draw cards and how to refill your hands, and I'll start with some of the low-hanging fruit here. One of the things white can do that no other color can do is Lantax Scroll Rack. Both are low mana cost, and both are really, really good at refilling your hand. It makes it so white can play some of the kind of weirder lands, too. Like, you'll play the Lotus land, and I guess I should go over what all these cards do if you've never heard of them before. Lantax is a one white enchantment at the beginning of your upkeep, and if an opponent controls more lands than you, you may search your library for up to three basic land cards, reveal them, and put them into your hand. If you do, shuffle your library. You may all know it now that it has finally been unbanned from Legacy, so... You know, I guess it's finally good enough now, or finally bad enough now to use in Legacy. And then Scroll Rack is a 2-mana colorless artifact. You pay one, you tap it, you exile any number of cards from your hand face down, and put that many cards from the top of your library into your hand, and look at the exiled cards and put them on the top of your library in any order. And basically what this really means is, if you lost the roll-off for everything, what you do is you search for lands every turn. You'll always search for three, and you may keep one so you can keep playing lands, but those other two you're just going to use to scroll rack back in and basically pay one mana to draw two cards each turn, which is pretty awesome in my opinion. Do you use this in your mono white deck?
Yeah, I play both of those, and then I play a couple other ones that are similar. Endless Horizons. It's an enchantment that's 4 mana. Comes into play, look for any number of planes, put them in exile, and then shuffle, and then each upkeep of yours, you get one of those planes into play, or into your hand. So it's like a mini land tax. And then there's a few that are one-shot. Tithe, which is a one-white instant that looks for a single planes, puts it into your hand, and if you have the fewest lands, you can get one additional planes. And then there's Gifts of Estates, sorcery from Portal, and I think 9th edition. One and a white. If you have less lands than an opponent, you can look for three planes and put them into your hand.
And now, to make sure you get these off, do you play things like, the obvious ones, I guess, are like Strip Mine and Wasteland, that you just always use on theirs, because if you have land tax, you know you're going to get your lands back. And because you can hit one opponent and still have another opponent have more lands than you, it's a kind of why wouldn't you thing. I guess using those is kind of obvious. Do you actually go as far to use something like Lotus Veil so that you always have less lands than opponents, but you can still have as much mana as opponents?
Not too much. I mean, I play Kodoran Outpost, which stacks the planes when it comes into play. Or it might bounce one, either way. And then there's Dawn Glaciers, which can change the amount of lands you have. But I think at one point I played Karu and some of the different fetch lands to try to thin the deck more, but not too much as far as trying to get them activated. But usually it happens naturally.
Okay. And now, I think the other way I've seen a lot of people get a lot of card advantage out of white, not just in mono white, but other colors, is the Core Spirit Dancer Mesa Enchantress plan, where you play a lot of auras to do kind of the Voltron plan, or you do a lot of auras and enchantments, and you end up drawing a bunch of cards off of those two. I know something like Three Dreams becomes amazing when you do that, because you use one card, tutor for three, and then each time you play one of those cards, you draw another card, so the advantage you get out of that's enormous. Do you also follow any of that in any of your decks, not just your mono-white deck?
Not too much with auras. I mean, I have a mono-blue Hakim deck, which has some auras, but usually it's not the same as it would be in a white deck with enchantresses and so on.
Okay. Now, the other one that I do use in my Jorkadeen deck, and I think he's amazing, he's been a great gift to white, was Pure Steel Paladin. Anytime you play equipment, you get to draw a card. And you play him and Batterskull together, both to just have kind of a beater constant blocker, and to be able to keep drawing cards off of the Batterskull. You just bounce it, and you replay it, and bounce it, and replay it. And since you get to equip for free, you can end up getting a lot of value out of it as well, because you know you can swing with something with the Vigilance and bounce it back. And since you're not paying the equip cost, you can do a lot more with your stuff anyways. Have you been using that? Seen that plan used at all against you, or have you used that one?
I've seen Pure Steel played a lot in various white decks, like Rafik, Ural, probably every Boros, Kemba type deck. Just anything that has a lot of equipment and more of a creature based deck, I guess.
Okay. Is there anything special you do that you haven't seen a lot of people use that you're just amazed more people don't do?
Not too much. I mean, it's a little different than a lot of the new ones. Because I made it when I first started, so back then the format was a lot slower. It was more like attrition, so I just had a bunch of wraths and different life gain things to go with Test of Endurance. And a lot of it's pretty obvious, good white cards. I mean, it's pretty generic. It's not really a theme in the deck, just ways to thin the deck, ways to recur cards, keep the game going long, and eventually grind out your opponents.
So really you're trying to slow it down, I guess, is the kind of the plan there?
Yeah, it's kind of just trying to wrath the board every couple of turns and be able to come back from it. And at least when the right matchups, you can get everyone to play two or three creatures and then get, you know, an extra one. And then at some point you can get enough card advantage that way. I mean, it's a lot weaker nowadays with so many blue and green ramp decks. They just have so much more card advantage than they used to.
Yeah, I mean, and those decks get incidental card advantage. Like, you don't even really have to try to find things to do to draw cards with them and to get refills with them. I mean, white, you can end up doing some, like, you end up having to go around the fact, do a little crazier things that people haven't heard of as often. One of the ones I used to like, it was one of my favorites, if you are playing life gain, which isn't a great strategy, to be honest, but if you are doing it because you're trying to win off Felidar Sovereign or something else, that says, you know, if you have the most life, you win, or if you are at a certain life, you win. I really liked the Words of Worship, Well of Lost Dreams combo. And Words of Worship is a two colorless, one white enchantment. It says you can pay one, and the next time you would draw a card this turn, you gain five life instead, which by itself is a terrible plan. You generally want to draw the card. But if you have Well of Lost Dreams out, it says whenever you, it's a four colorless artifact, it's from Darksteel, and it says whenever you gain life, you may pay X, where X is less than or equal to the amount of life gain. If you do, draw X cards. So, obviously, the way this works, at the beginning of your turn, you pay one to not draw instead gain five life, and then you pay five mana, you're still gaining the life, but you're gonna also draw five cards. Or if you just have a ton of mana, you can just keep this rolling and rolling and rolling, and you end up drawing just a whole ton of cards. Again, I don't think I've seen anyone else go about it. How about you? Have you seen people trying to kind of push that plan as well?
I've really seen that combo. I've seen both those cards in various decks, and my friend has like a five-color life gain and three or five color cantrip deck that would have that as like a backup way to stay alive. I mean, not as good as the green or red word cards to win the game, but those two together sounds pretty insane.
Oh yeah, it's one of those things, and it comes out of nowhere too, because nobody attacks Words of Worship, so they're just like, oh, okay, whatever. That's the bad worship. Why not? Or it's the bad words of card. Why would I care about that? And then you draw 20 cards and go, oh. That's kind of like, have you seen, and this is getting off topic a little bit, the other words combo, which is Words of Waste and Geth's Grimoire together?
Oh, yes. I've seen things like that with
Imagine. And that's just a nut slap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I'm going to draw a card. Oh, no. I'm sorry. What I meant is all of you are going to lose your hands, and then I'm going to refill my hand. Does that sound okay to everyone? No? Not too bad. Yeah, that one's pretty awesome. This is White's version, which, as you said, isn't quite as good, but it is. It's still not bad, especially if you're really trying to draw. I guess if you're really going for like good draw mechanics in white, I know a lot of white, outside of the Angel Plan, people like to do the token thing, the soldiers, and we got the huge step up in Innistrad, which is Mentor of the Meek. I don't know why this card is still only 20 cents. I don't know why it's taken people a while to figure this out, but Mentor of the Meek, if you don't know, because apparently nobody's bought one, it's two colorless, one white, it's a creature, human soldier. It's a 2/2, and it says, whenever another creature with power 2 or less enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 1. If you do, draw a card. And that is a good thing. You know, if you're playing soldiers, you're probably playing mobilization anyways. And if you haven't heard of mobilization, it was last printed in 10th. It's 2 colorless, 1 white enchantment, and it says, soldier creatures have vigilance, and you can pay 2 colorless and 1 white to put a 1/1 white soldier creature token into play. And so you basically, this way, you pay 4 mana, draw 1 card, and have a soldier. So that seems pretty good, especially when you're whites, you're not going to have a lot of instants, so any of that extra mana you got from, as you said, you're playing like the Gauntlet of Might and the Cage Sun, so you can throw this in there. Do you play token decks that do anything like this, that do anything with Mentor?
I haven't really tried that card. I know I've always wanted to play that in something like soldier-based or small creature-based. It would be okay in my deck. I mean, I have Sacred Mesa. I used to run the other one, but I cut it. I also have like Stormherd, Decree of Justice to go with my general as being an anthem built in, and then all the artifact ones. And then like Martial Coup, which can rat the board and then give you creatures, same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, and every white deck is playing Martial Coup, I would assume, because why wouldn't you want a Wrath and have an army left over? There's really no plan that doesn't work with. And I guess the other thing that goes well with Mentor is something that goes well just in most decks, which is Skullclamp, right? So if you're doing the Mentor plan, Skullclamp's probably a good plan to be following as well. And, you know, it's not exclusionary. You can have both out and draw 3 for every 1/1 you get on board. I don't think anybody's going to blame you for that. The other thing I like in white, you know, I'm starting to like this in other colors a lot more, and this one's a little colorless, so you guys will have to forgive me on that. But I like using the spell bombs now more than I thought I would, mostly because Salvaging Station is so awesome when you're playing a lot of Wraths. And so being able to draw a bunch of cards off of, you know, like a Chromatic Sphere or in white when you're playing, what's the Mirror Spell Bomb? Do you happen to know off the top of your head?
Is it? Sunbeam is the life gain one, and the new one is, I want to say Sun something. Origin.
Yeah.
Origin Spell Bomb?
Origin Spell Bomb, where you pay 1, sacrifice it, you get a 1/1 artifact creature token. Or whenever it gets put into the graveyard from the battlefield, you pay a white, and if you do, you draw a card. That's super, super sweet when you have the Salvaging Station out, because you pay the 1 to make the mirror, and you pay the white to draw a card, and then if you have any way to sacrifice that mirror, you get to untap the salvaging station. And so if you're trying to look for like an infinite white combo, you just play that and Ashnod's Altar, and you get infinite colorless mana off of it. And I'm trying to think if there's... Yeah, infinite colorless should do good for you in any sort of deck. And then if you're playing it with the other altar, with the Phyrexian Altar, then you can start making color and then start drawing through your entire deck, which is pretty sweet. But the other card that white has that was the reason Lion's Eye Diamond got banned, but I haven't seen anybody play it since, was Ariok Salvagers, where you can pay the one and one white and return target artifact card to convert a mana cost one or less from your graveyard to your hand. And, you know, since you can, I mean, granted you have to discard your hand, but if you're playing a commander, you can still play the commander. So I was sure that when they unbanned Lion's Eye Diamond and Mikaeus came out, everyone was going to start playing Mikaeus, get the Salvagers out, and then just play an infinitely large Mikaeus every time. But I haven't seen it happen yet. So I'm not sure if people just forgot what that salvaging card did, really. But what are you going to do? Now, I guess the other thing that white does really well is return little tiny creatures and artifacts, like with Sun Titan and Order of the White Clay and Revlark, to play. Do you play any decks that abuse their abilities to draw cards?
Not too much in that sense. I mean, just in general, like Rhea Dawnbringer, Emyria, I think one deck has Revlark, Karmic Guide.
So do you do the Revlark Karmic Guide thing?
They're on the same deck, I don't think, but just for value.
Oh, you gotta put them in the same deck, right? So why don't you have them in the same deck, out of curiosity?
I mean, the Lark is in Kanji, which is Tribal Birds, and Revlark similar enough. I think Karmic Guide should actually be in the mono white, but I don't have a foil one. But I think it's in, what deck is that? Actually, it might not even be in one of my decks. It might be in Type 4. I know it's in Type 4 and Cube.
Because I think with stuff like that, you would use, like, Brass Secretary or something super janky, or even, like, pull off the Carnage Altar things where you're trying to use something that costs nothing and just get a little bit of card draw out of them each time. I don't know.
And I used to run some of those value. Like, I used to run Treasure Hunter. Like, he brings back an artifact when he comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I Solemn.
And then you play like Elsewhere Flask or Solemn or something and just keep.
Yeah, I think I played like Armillary Sphere, Wayfarer's Bauble, maybe Dreamstone Hedron, a couple of those artifacts I'd sacrifice for either cards or lands.
Yeah, or even just like Mindstone, which is a pretty good one for that kind of thing.
Oh, Mindstone, yeah, you should run that.
But yeah, I mean, so I'm surprised. I barely see any of this in any decks, and it kills me because, I mean, it's like people have stopped trying. I don't know if you've noticed the same thing when you've been out there, that people don't seem, like, they see white, they go, nah, that can't draw cards, and then they just live with the fact they're not drawing cards. Or do you see people just skip straight to the, like, sort of Fire and Ice Mind's Eye plans where they're just doing the basic colorless stuff and hoping that's enough?
I've really seen too many mono-white decks lately. It's almost always blue-white or green-white. Everyone just loves, like, mono-blue and various green ramp decks that mono-white's almost left out, it seems.
Yeah, you know, I can go along with that. I haven't seen a mono-white deck in a long time. Hopefully we'll see more of those in the future. They really are a lot better than people are giving them credit for. I mean, I see mono every other color, so you'd think at some point somebody would give white a chance again. Hopefully after listening to this, they will. Well, that's putting us about at where our time would normally be. If people wanted to contact you or hear more from you, how do you recommend them doing that?
The best way to reach me would be on Twitter, just a mention or direct message if I follow you, at Norbert88. You can also email me, norbert88@gmail.com.
All right. Sounds good.
There you go, winners. That was Sean. This is Chris signing off. If you have any questions for the man himself, email us at seanisrightiamwrong@gmail.com.